If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming. We're going to turn into a best bits hunter. We're going hunter-gathering. We're finding the berries, but we're also finding the moose that's going to feed our whole tribe for winter.
The moose? Are we eating moose?
I don't know. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back everyone. It's been a little while. It's a fresh season. It's time for your favorite part of the podcast. Nothing's changed here. The Shoot Your Shot shout out. That's where we're shouting out you guys, our incredible listeners. You've listened to us. You've gone out there. You've used our tips. You've come back to tell us all about it. And we're going to give you a shout out. So this week we're shouting out Annie, who bought us 10 coffees. Also, what a great name, Annie. Fun fact, that is the name of our third sister.
Yes, Annie said, "Dear Emma and Sarah, in 2025, I was unemployed for 5 months and honestly losing hope. I was applying to everything, including roles below my previous experience and titles. Then, out of frustration, I saw a posting for a director level role. I'd previously been in a senior manager role with a posted salary range nearly double what I'd made before. At this point, I figured, why not? And applied. To my total shock, I was invited to a recruiter screening, then a hiring manager interview, then an in-person interview. When each invitation appeared in my inbox, I verbally squealed and laughed. Before the in-person interview, I found Interview Boss and basically binged your 'Help, I have a job interview tomorrow' playlist. I took notes, pulled out my best bits, and walked in with confidence and my notebook with notes and best bit prompts. After the interview, I listened to your Listen to This Right After Your Interview episode, and it was a lifesaver. They reached out for a follow-up virtual call with the hiring manager, and I was told they were deciding between me and one other candidate. This information consumed me. Waiting was the worst. After a week of silence, I emailed the recruiter asking if they had an updated timeline. When she replied that she was still awaiting a decision from the hiring manager, maybe thanks to your podcast, I decided it was time to shoot my shot. I sent a follow-up to the recruiter saying, if the hiring manager is still deciding between me and another candidate, it'd be remiss if I didn't say I really want this job. And then I nicely listed three reasons why I'm the perfect candidate and I'm so aligned with the organization and their vision for growth. I hit send and tried not to panic. An hour later, the recruiter replied saying she loved my passion and would share it with the hiring manager. 5 agonizing days later, I missed a call from their area code and assumed it was a rejection. I waited to listen to the voicemail and to my literal shock heard, I have great news. Please call me back. I cried, I got the job, a level up in title and a 70% salary increase. Oh. I still can't believe it. Your advice is practical and so doable. You help us job seekers to articulate our experience, skills and value. Thank you for helping change my life.
Oh,
I have so many thoughts.
I have so many thoughts. The random first thing I have to get off my chest is I'm going to start saying things consumed me. I really like that.
I really loved our advice is doable. Yeah. It's doable? I love that. That's like, yeah, could do that. I'm going to do
that's
that.
It's doable.
I love it. Doable because like it's also overwhelming and then you hear something and go, yeah, I could do that. And that's what we're about.
Yeah. And like, it doesn't have to be like, you know, your advice was transformational. Like, obviously she's saying it changed my life, but like your advice is doable. Like, yeah, you can do it.
I love it. It's so simple, but inspiring. Secondly, I don't know if I love being told, hey, it's between you and someone else. That would make that weight even worse because you're just comparing yourself to this invisible person and you know that it's just there's two of you.
Yes, but like everybody wants to be updated. This is the whole reason why candidates don't then get information about what's actually going on, because like you give someone information and they don't like it and it's worse because they have more information. Like it's tricky. I think that's just them keeping her in the loop. Like, again, the red flag is not they took too long. The red flag is if they just fully dropped you and you didn't hear for 3 weeks. Like, communication was consistent here. Like, don't get me wrong, 5 days, yes, it is agonizing, but it's also not that long in the context of like a business making a decision.
No, I just mean personally, like, I'd prefer to have not heard than to be told, oh, we're just a little bit, oh, a little bit more. We're just going to compare you two a bit more. That is agonizing.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the perfect example of shooting your shot. That's why, if you're wondering where this segment got its name from, it's because of people like Annie. She's shooting her shot. She saw the job and was like, why not? Great. Shooting her shot. She's hearing, hey, it's between me and someone else. And she's like, well, why not? I'll shoot my shot. I'll send this email.
So good. I also loved when she said, I hit send, tried not to panic. It's giving through my phone across the room. I've done that so many times when you're stewing over a message. You just hit send and then you throw it across the room and walk
and
away.
You like close your phone.
Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel.
That's so great. Okay. Now, if you want results like Annie and you maybe need a little bit more support, you can't do it yourself, you're struggling to come up with your best bits, you don't know if they sound good, you're not really sure how to practice, maybe you've got the basics down and you don't know how to take things to the next level, well, maybe you need a little bit of extra help. We have two different options for you. You can check out Interview Academy and do everything self-guided, but with a really, really great structure to take you from beginning to end, complete beginning, like you haven't even come up with a single best bit, to all the way to walking in the front door of your interview. Or you can book a one-on-one session where we can kind of dive deep on one particular topic or one particular area that you might need help with. You can check out all about both of them, interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
If you liked one of our episodes, used a tip that we sent, or want to request an episode specifically on your industry or conundrum, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we could dedicate a whole episode to you. This week, we are talking about tracking your wins and your best bits. So it's a new year. We're feeling inspired. This is leaning into the kind of goal setting habits that we're going to take into the new year. And I thought this was perfect because over the years, we've had some questions about keeping track of best bits, because when you're in a long-term job, you're not actively planning on leaving. You're not really actively keeping track of all of the epic things that you do. It's not until you start trying to put together a resume or you have an interview pop up that you're like, shit, I've got a week to cram and try and think of every great thing I've ever done. So it's such a good idea to just start keeping a little note, a running list whenever they pop into your mind.
Yep. And as much as we are recording this and putting this out there at the beginning of a new year, you might not be listening to this at the beginning of a new year. It could be the middle of the year. It could be towards the end of the year. It could be whenever.
It might be 2028 when you're listening to this.
Maybe. Hello in 2028. Hello from the past. It's still relevant, I promise. There are a couple of different situations that I think this can be really, really helpful. And I thought we could go through a couple of them. If you have the idea that I need a new job soon, this is the year, within the next 6 months, I am going to get out of here. I'm going to go for a promotion. I'm changing companies. I'm moving countries. I'm doing something. But it's maybe a little bit early to kind of start taking action on your resume or applying or anything practical like that. In terms of actually making moves in the job search, this is what you should do.
Yes. Or shout out to the people who are clinging on for dear life. They hate their job, but there's some niche, stupid reason keeping them there. They're like, there's no other jobs in my small town. I need to get the end of year bonus and then I'll go. Whatever it is, this episode's for you. Turn it up, lock in. So this is what you should do. We're going to turn into a best bits hunter. We're going hunter-gathering. We're finding the berries, but we're also finding the moose that's going to feed our whole tribe for winter.
The moose? Are we eating moose?
I don't know. What do people eat?
Have you ever seen how big a moose is?
No.
They're really dangerous.
Well, then it would feed the whole
family.
Their
knees are like as tall as your head. It's crazy. You have no idea. If you are not from a country that has moose, you do not know how big they are. I have been very shocked.
Is the plural of moose meese, the way goose is geese?
It should be. I used to make that joke all the time. I think it's really funny. Side note about if you think Australia has dangerous animals and you're one of those people that I meet that go, oh, I could never go there. What about the dangerous animals? Can we just think about all of the other countries and the dangerous animals that they have?
Can we just circle back to the moose?
Yeah, moose are really dangerous. Did you know that? They will charge you over and then trample you. Like nothing in Australia, people don't think about this. Have I ranted about this before? It's been bubbling.
No, everything that can kill us here is small, so you have time to run.
Well, and also it's not hunting you.
Yeah, we just coexist.
With the exception of a crocodile, which is also very territorial and like you've kind of gone into its territory first. And if you're not in crocodile territory, you're just literally not in danger. Like they're only in certain areas. Nothing will hunt you. There are so many animals in so many other countries that will follow you secretly to try and eat you. Nothing in Australia does that.
Like bears. What are they doing? And have you seen the videos where people just go for a hike and they see a bear and they just go, hey, bear, shoo, bear. And I'm like, maybe raise your voice a bit. Maybe
that's
run for your life.
That's what you have to do.
No, they just speak to it like it's a mate. It's not right.
No, I know. That's what you have to do. You can't run.
Said who? The bears? I don't know.
Bear people. I don't know. That's the rules. But see, like if you have that preconceived idea that Australia has all these dangerous animals and it's a dangerous place, you have unfortunately been misled. You're missing out.
Yeah. Come to Australia. So we're going hunting. Now, let's talk about trackers. I feel like this is your domain, Sarah. So talk to me here. What are our options?
Okay. So can I just spoiler alert? Emma is not going to like this. we're going to debate about this, I think. And hey, maybe I'll be surprised and maybe you'll agree with me. Finding a good tracker or making like a little template to track your best bits and your stories and whatever feels productive, but it's not. I think it's a waste of time. I think building a tracker is fine as long as you know that it's a waste of time. Like as long as you know that it's not actually being productive.
Yeah. If you're having fun and you're enjoying yourself and you know that it's, but you're just kind of priming yourself, that's all right. Yeah.
That's all right. We're just not going to trick ourselves into saying that you need a tracker in order to do this because you don't. And if that's the excuse that you're using for not doing this, then I want you to get that out of your head. You don't need to build a tracker. And actually, the more that I thought about this, and even if I was actually going to put effort and energy into building a tracker, because I did think maybe we could make a tracker template and make it available for everyone.
A template, yeah.
But then I was like, what would I even put in it? Like, okay, hear me out. I think the best tracker or the best template or whatever it is the one that you will actually use that has a very, very, very low barrier to just adding something in quickly when you think of it.
Yeah. For me, it's Notes app. My life's in my Notes app.
It's always the Notes app. It's always the Notes app. Whatever that Notes app kind of thing is for you, and shout out to our Android besties out there, whatever that version is for you, I think it's going to be that. Because for me, it's something that's on your phone because you don't want to necessarily do it on your work computer because then you've got to like send it to yourself or like make sure that you've got that version or something. It's always with you, depending on when you think of something.
I just want to read out my most I just opened my Notes app because it's a minefield. My whole life's in here. My most recent note is future cat names, Dennis and Murphy, Douglas and Murray.
Future cat
That's
names.
Top of mind.
Dennis is a great cat name.
Isn't it? And Murphy.
I used to think, and I maybe I do still think this is kind of funny, but I would love to know if anyone has actually done this. I used to think a great cat name was Affogato, which gato means cat in Spanish, and Affogato is like a delicious drink. Affogato means cat. Affo cat.
Dennis is more fun.
But it could be Affy. Oh, I just thought it was so cute.
Yeah.
And then I haven't had a cat and then named it since I thought of that. But someone did point out to me that technically it means drowned. And I was like, oh, I don't like that. I just like the fact that it means cat. But anyway, that's throwing that out there. That would be on my list of cat names.
To be continued. What else do you think people could do?
Well, I think OneNote, if people use that, I think that's often like a work thing that you would have access to. Notion, I think that could work too. I like the idea of Notion or Loop. If anyone's ever used Microsoft Loop, it's like basically the Microsoft version of Notion. I like the idea that you would have just like a plain open document where you could then have like a contents section so that if you clicked on that heading for that best bit, it would jump you down to that area where you were able to put the bullet points or extra detail or a paragraph or something like that. I like that idea because I get why you would have one long document and then you're like, wait, where was that thing again? Was it up here, down here? And as the document gets longer, it's harder to find stuff. I did think you could do an Excel sheet, and I feel like that's where people spend a whole bunch of time making a tracker, because Excel is like, I love Excel, but it's ugly. So if you're putting stuff in there as a tracker, you're going to want to spend time making it a little bit nicer.
I feel like it depends what your job is, because like our engineering friends and our STEM friends, they're going to be doing an Excel sheet.
They are.
Whereas our creatives, our chaotic creatives, they're going to be in the notes.
And then they're going to add columns in their Excel sheet because they're going to want to add, oh, well, this relates to these topics and it's about this thing and it's from this period of time, and they're going to add all these columns. The more I thought about it, the more I was like, it's like two columns. It's the topic. Maybe you could do three: the topics, the title, and then the detail. I really don't think you should overdo this.
What about date?
Yeah, but why? Like, what are you doing with that? This is what I mean. You're going to think, oh, I'll add a date column.
On the 17th of August, I pioneered.
And then all it does is make it harder for you to put that detail in there. Like, it's just another thing that you have to fill in when you're trying to capture that thought that pops into your head. I really think that the way this is going to work best is if you make it super easy to capture the idea. Maybe someone wants to like do something really crazy and build themselves like a Google form that then populates a spreadsheet. That's a little bit better than a spreadsheet for me. Maybe that's how you're going to do it. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy. The final thing that I think is important about trackers, and again, why I think like the notes app or something like that is really useful, is because I think this is the kind of thing that you want to create and then add some stuff to and then like forget about for 6 months and then go, where was that again? Oh, there it is. So I don't want it to be on a document that's saved in a folder on an old laptop somewhere, because you did it once and then forgot about it. I want it to be somewhere where you're always going to be able to just get it back. Like, you go, oh, wasn't that in my notes app? And you search for it. No, there it is, because your iCloud backed it up. Somewhere that you can kind of easily get access back to, even if you've changed devices.
Yes. Now, what we're on the lookout for is things that could become a future resume bullet point. So, you know, core parts of your job that are epic, guess what, prove it, so what type information, and things that could become a best bit story. So was there a niche situation that you wouldn't really put on a resume bullet point, but it was an incident or a achievement that happened at work, a really great story? Write that down.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to have a perfect result. I'm particularly thinking about the people who are hanging in to a job that they really don't like that much. Maybe you spotted a mistake and you pointed it out to your boss and they don't care and they didn't do anything with it. It doesn't have to have saved money or fixed the world or like solved that problem. I've spoken to a lot of people recently in coaching sessions where maybe the product that they built never got released, or maybe the marketing campaign never went ahead, or the event got cancelled or something. So they kind of feel like they can't talk about it. I'm like, well, did you do all the work? Yeah. Was it good? Yeah. Well, then why wouldn't you talk about it? Like, just because the company made a decision at the end, that doesn't reflect on you. There's often some other external thing that happened. It wasn't because you did a bad job and it never went ahead. You can still talk about that story. It's still a great best bit.
So good. And when you're writing it down, give it some kind of title. So like, if I'm thinking about me, I'm going to be like, broken down car on the way to shift. That is very obvious.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, if you know, you know. Or tech glitch, you know, reading news acoustically or something. Give it a little title so that it can easily jog your memory, and also why it was important or impactful or interesting or hard. You don't want to glance at it in 6 months and be like, marketing campaign with Tessa, and be like, okay, what was the significance of that? You want to know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. And add in details. Like, you would be surprised how much you will forget later on. It's often the little details that you end up forgetting. You probably remember the gist of things, but you might not remember how many sessions you had to run. Hey, I had to book in this many meetings in this short amount of time, and I had to coordinate this many people came to this thing, and it was a 2-week turnaround, or it was 4 days, or it was 3 months left. Whatever those dates and times and bits and pieces are, add those in if you can, because I think those are the first bits of detail to disappear from your memory in the future.
Yes. And don't overlook how you were involved, how you changed or influenced the situation. All of that context is relevant to the backstory. And numbers. If the campaign reached 88,000 people, or you had to send 50 notices out to different team members, put that in there.
Yep. Maybe you're keeping this information, just back to our template thing, maybe it's like an extra page on the end of your resume template that you're just making these notes, so that when you go to write it, sure, it's not organized in any particular way, but all your random notes are there so that you can use that to update when you eventually get to that point. I think that's a great tip.
I've just had a thought. If there's people who are listening to this and want to do this just to look out for their future self, but they don't have any plans to move, maybe they're not even in the camp of people who are like, in 6 months, I want to be out of here. Maybe they're just like, hey, I'm really happy, but I think this is important to do. This document can also become ammo for a pay rise, because whenever you go in for a pay rise, you have to compile a list of all the epic stuff you've done, the times you've gone over and above. So how handy to be able to whip this out and get a pay rise.
Absolutely. We're tracking our wins and internal promotions, internal movements, all of that kind of stuff.
Whenever you're having imposter syndrome.
Yes. Having confidence in yourself. That's what I was about to say, like wanting to feel good about yourself. So that actually perfectly segues, Em. It's almost like you knew what we were going to talk about next. Why this exercise is helpful, what it's going to be good for. Why should you consider doing this? It forces you to look for the positives in what you're doing. Like, we are adding to our evidence that we are good at our job. It's kind of like a gratitude thing. You know how the more you look for it, the more you get good at finding things to be grateful for. You're kind of, the more you look at how well you're doing in your job, or all these wins that you've had, or look back over these things that you've done, you think, wow, I really have achieved a lot in this year. Really, really awesome. Another side note, you may even have been forced, encouraged by your friendly neighborhood HR team to do something like this in a self-reflection in a performance review cycle or something, to talk about what you've achieved, what you've been working on, things that you've done that year. Maybe you should go and dig those documents out, grab the detail out of it, drop it into your template, and you're already started. You've already got some stuff in there to start working on.
Yeah. And of course, doing your future self a favor. You never know when a cool promotion might pop up, the opportunity for a pay review, or a new interview at a whole different company where you can have all these wins to talk about. So only good things will come for this. And in an interview, the hardest thing, Sarah, you've done hundreds and hundreds of interview coaching sessions. The most common thing you see people struggle with is brainstorming the best bits. Once they've got them, practicing, refining, that's easy. Coming up with them is so hard. It takes time, like hours of thinking, and you're not seeing progress. The page is blank. You're staring at it. So to do it bit by bit is one of the biggest gifts you could give yourself.
And even once you've got the topics, like you remember that time that you had to help Janice with that thing that was due and it was a great teamwork example. Sure, you've come up with that. That's one part. You now need to actually put that together in a bit of a story. And that kind of starts you going, oh, what happened again? Did she come to me first or did I offer? Did I run into her in the kitchen? Like, how did that start? And so you've got to remember, pull out all this random detail and then turn it into some semblance of a structure. So any of those bits that we can do in advance, amazing. Now, you might even find this last little benefit. I think this is like kind of related to helping you survive in a company or a job that you really don't want to be in anymore. It might even help you look out for different things that you can pick up, take that harder task that comes through, take that project or that client that's really annoying you, you're thinking about that in a positive light of like, well, this is giving me another resume bullet point. Like it's helping you hang in there. It's helping you kind of see the positive in being given more work again. In those moments, you're going, well, it's this big deadline. This is a lot to do. I've had to prioritize. At least this is going to be something that I can talk about in a story.
Yes. And if you don't have anything to pull from your current situation, each week you can write something down from the past. So maybe on a Friday, you go down memory lane, try and think of something from your previous job, or to the daydreamers out there who just wish they were anywhere else, use the daydreaming and start remembering the time that you led things and did cool stuff.
Yeah. Go through your old emails, like have a look at your LinkedIn, scroll through stuff that you were tagged in, stuff that your company did, any way that you can kind of jog your memory a little bit. Going into the past, look at all of your performance review documents, look at any qualifications that you've got, anything that's going to take you back in time. Think about previous colleagues that you've worked with. All of that is going to be helpful in brainstorming some of these things because we want to be thinking of stuff in real time for sure, but you also want to cover, you know, the couple of years that it's been since you last did this exercise and get those ones down as well. Have you done this exercise before and or had it pop into your head where something's happened in real time and you've thought this would hypothetically make a good interview story?
Yes, maybe like a year or more ago, one random thing from ages ago popped in my head and I was like, oh, I'm going to write that down because I had forgotten about it. And when I rediscovered it, I was like, ah, I don't want to forget that again. And now that I have that in my notes from time to time, I do remember stuff and put it in there.
It takes practice. So if you're just doing this for the very first time, it takes practice to kind of understand what makes a good moment that turns into a good best bit. Because you might go to write it down and then realize, oh, it was kind of a win at the time. It's a positive thing, but like it doesn't necessarily turn into a good story. And then you get better at it the next time you see something, you'd be like, wow, I can kind of feel the beginning, middle, and end of this, how this would come together. This one's a really good story. Like you get better at picking it up.
I have found one from my notes that I would like to share exactly what I wrote down and then what the story is. And this is really niche, but it's amazing.
So you wrote this down at the time?
Yes, on the 19th of June, 2025 at 9:54 a.m.
You wrote the date?
No, like my notes tells me when I wrote it.
Oh, right.
So I work at a radio station and I sit next to the creative director. So he writes all of the ads for the commercials and all of the promotions and things like that. So he's a creative guy. A way that he gets his creative juices flowing is he goes around and solicits people and asks them questions. So say he had a client that was a butcher this time. So a butcher was spending money with our radio station. They wanted to advertise. He's got to try and make a butcher creative and exciting, all right? So he was going around asking people, how often do you go to the butcher? And pretty much everyone in the office said, not that often. We just get meat from the supermarket. But if it's like a special occasion, if you're having a barbecue or if you want the specific like chicken schnitzels or something that's, I'm going to say chicken schnitzels. If you want something better quality or nice steak or something, then you go to the butcher. But for most people in the office, it wasn't part of their everyday thing, which was a challenge for him because he's like, right, well, it's not part of everyone's everyday thing, so I can't make it sound like it is. Anyway, so he's workshopping. He's like, oh, how do I do this? And he wanted a tagline because he built his ad around the fact that it was a special occasion. They were all gathered around. They were celebrating, having a barbecue. There was drinks clinking. It was painting the picture that it was a special occasion and the meat was so good and they went to this butcher. And he went around and asked every single other person in the building except me, which was such a mistake because I'm a comical genius. He went around and asked everyone.
That's so
and they
rude.
Were giving.
Why? You should be mad about that.
He always asks me. And I think this one time, just by chance, he skipped me, went to everyone else. Everyone's like, ah, oh, I don't know, like, you know, not real creative. And I was scheming the whole time and I just kept quiet and I was like, I'll see how he goes. And then I just turned around and I went, I've got the tagline. And he went, what? And I said, so insert company name. So like, I'm going to make up a name. Johnson's Meats, when the usual just won't cut it. Because cut it, meat, amazing. And he was like, oh, that's brilliant. And then he made the whole ad around that. In the ad, they got out like a chainsaw and tried to cut the meat and because it was so tough. And then they went to this butcher and then it was beautiful. And they were like, when the usual just won't cut it because we're celebrating someone's engagement. Anyway, it was amazing. The client loved it. It was just the best ad ever. And it was all, that was all thanks to me. So that's my little best bit about going above and beyond.
You had a real Mad Men moment.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, can we all collectively gasp if you listen
obviously
to this?
Obviously it's a movie, but I don't know what happens.
It's not a movie. It's a TV show. Oh. It's called Mad Men. And it's about the ad men of Madison Avenue. Is that what they're called? Is that why they call that? Not sure. Advertising industry, like old school version where they're all kind of sitting around and they've got like.
I need to watch that. It sounds like I would love that.
You would absolutely love that because that's exactly what they do. They sit around coming up with taglines and it's in the days of like selling, you know, cars and cigarettes and alcohol and like, you know, where they had a typing pool and it was all full of women and then like there was all the men smoking. Like it's a great show. I'm not saying that that was a great time in the workplace for any reason. I'm just explaining. It's such a great show. You really need to watch it.
Yeah. But I do stuff like that all the time, which is not linked to radio news necessarily, but I'm a team player. I'm creative. I can adapt. And so I wrote it down and I just said best bits going above and beyond the butchery example with insert colleague's name. Overheard him struggling, gave the tagline when the usual just won't cut it. Because if you asked me this in a year, I would forget what the tagline was that I came up with, but I remembered it.
And you're like, oh, but it was really good. Oh, I came up with this tagline. Oh, I can't remember what it was, but it was really good. See, it just the best bit's not going to land as well if you don't have that little bit of detail.
Yeah. So there you have it. I'm not saving lives in my day job, but I'm coming up with greatness sometimes.
That's okay. That's the stuff that we want you to get in those trackers, track your wins, and let us know if you've got any great ideas for how you're setting up your template. Again, we're not trying to overcook it. The Notes app, the Humble Notes app is great, but if you've found a way and maybe you want to try and convince me that your tracker is the best one, well, send us a message. Reach out, let us know. I'll give you my thoughts on it. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us in Apple or Spotify, leave us a review, or better yet, tell someone else about the show the old-fashioned way. That's how we can hit the charts and we can help even more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, and a supportive community, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss or go find me on LinkedIn and chuck me a follow. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.